you want to know what Crystal was doing lately, you should talk to Abigail Wright. She plays the organ for the church. She also owned the Roadside Motel out on Route 99. Crystal worked there. Do you have Ms. Wright's phone number or address?
Lance asked. Something outside the window caught Mr. Jackson's attention. He dropped his peeler and carrot, grabbed his cane, and moved toward the back door as fast as he could shuffle.
What is it?
Lance was on his feet, his body shifting back into ready.
Damned fox is after my chickens.
Mr. Jackson flung open the back door and rushed out. Tripping on a loose floorboard, he nearly fell on his face. Lance caught him and set him on his feet.
Let me.
Morgan followed the men onto the back porch. A flash of orange disappeared into the tall weeds around the property.
I'm down to 12 hens. A hawk took one last week. She was one of my best layers.
Mr. Jackson leaned on his cane.
I trade with some of my neighbors. Eggs and vegetables for bread and bacon.
Morgan couldn't imagine how he managed to tend his garden and care for his chickens when he could barely walk.
Your fence is broken. You have more chicken wire?
Lance called from the yard. Mr. Jackson waved toward a shed. Lance crossed the yard and disappeared inside the outbuilding. A few minutes later, he emerged with a roll of chicken wire under one arm and a toolbox in the other. In 10 minutes, he'd repaired the break in the fence and checked the rest of the enclosure.
I used to be strong like that.
Mr. Jackson sighed.
It's an insult, the way your body turns on you as you get old.
When Lance had finished securing the chickens, he returned to the porch.
Thank you.
Mr. Jackson went back into the kitchen. He filled a carton with eggs.
I don't need payment,
Lance said.
Give them to Abigail.
Mr. Jackson put the carton in Morgan's hands. Then he took a piece of paper from a drawer and wrote on it.
This is her address. Tell her I sent you. She'll be able to tell you more about Crystal.
Do you have a phone number?
Lance accepted the paper.
We could call first.
Mr. Jackson shook his head.
Won't matter. At this time of day, she'll be outside working in the garden.
He walked them back to the front door. Lance and Morgan returned to the Jeep and Lance headed for the driver's side.
I'm perfectly calm now. I can drive.
All right. But why do you need to drive? She dropped the keys into his hand.
I like to be in control,
he admitted, which no doubt sprang from having so little of it over his life. He drove to the address Mr. Jackson had given them. Abigail Wright's cottage was as perfect as Elijah Jackson's was dilapidated. A white picket fence enclosed a neat garden rioting with fall blooms. Blue clapboards and white gingerbread trim shone with fresh paint. Purple cabbages lined a brick walkway. Morgan led the way up 3 wooden steps to the front porch. The wind rocked a white wicker swing on the opposite end of the porch. 2 cats ignored them from a sun patch next to the swing. Holding the carton of eggs, Morgan pressed the doorbell. Standing back, she admired the deep purple of some daisy-type flowers that crowded a flower bed in front of the porch. These are gorgeous. Lance barely glanced at the flowers, but he'd relaxed somewhat since they'd left Mr. Jackson's house. No one answered the door, but a red sedan was parked in front of the cottage. Let's try out back. Mr. Jackson said she'd be working outside. Morgan followed a brick path around the side of the cottage, calling out, Ms. Wright? Lance fell into step beside her. The late morning sun took the bite out of the raw wind, warming Morgan's head and shoulders. They walked under a trellis. Blue jays splashed in a birdbath next to a stone bench. After the dark and depressing news of the past couple of days, Morgan suppressed the desire to stop, sit, and enjoy the sun on her face for 2 minutes. They rounded the side of the house and scanned the rear yard for a little old lady.
Hold it right there!
A voice yelled from a shed 15 feet away. Morgan lifted her hands, raising the egg carton in the air. The shed door stood ajar. From the 3-inch opening, the double barrel of a shotgun stared them down. Lance caught Morgan around the waist in a tackle. She hit the ground hard, Lance on top of her, covering her with his larger body. He rolled them behind the stone bench and slid his handgun from its holster. Chapter 20.
Put down the gun,
Lance shouted. He lifted his head, scanning the yard over the bench. He couldn't see who was inside the shed. The bench was solid and would provide good cover, unless the shooter moved. Underneath him, Morgan wheezed. He slid off her body and she took a deep breath. The shooting that had ended his police career and almost killed him rushed into his head. Sweat poured from his back and chest, and his heart jumped as if he'd been defibrillated. Gun in hand, he peered over the stone bench again, his free hand on Morgan's shoulder, pinning her to the ground.
Keep your head down.
The sun glinted on the dark metal of the barrel, poking out from the slightly open door of the shed.
Ms. Wright?
Lance shouted.
We just want to talk.
The shed door opened a few more inches. He caught a glimpse of gray hair. Morgan grabbed the carton of eggs that had fallen to the ground when Lance tackled her. Golden yolks dripped from the cardboard. She waved the eggs over the top of the bench.
Elijah Jackson sent us with eggs for you.
The shed door opened and a small gray-haired woman stepped out. She wore khaki slacks and rubber boots, leather gloves, a wide-brimmed hat, and a neat bun finished off her outfit. She could have been headed for a garden club meeting except for the shotgun in her hands.
Why didn't you say so?
She tucked the shotgun into the crook of her arm and walked toward them.
Please, set the gun down, Ms. Wright.
Lance got to his feet.
This is my property, so you put your gun away first, young man.
She chuckled.
I won't shoot you. You can calm down.
Lance debated. She didn't look like a threat, but his pulse was hammering like a bass drum at an Iron Maiden concert. His body remembered what it felt like to be shot, and it wanted no part of a repeat. Still holding the egg carton, Morgan raised her hands, palms out in the traditional surrender gesture. A glob of egg yolk dripped to the ground.
Call me Abigail,
Ms. Wright said. Lance tensed as she walked closer. She shot him an exasperated look.
Put the gun away.
Though his instinct screamed otherwise, Lance slid his handgun into his holster. Abigail approved with a nod.
Now, who are you, and what do you want?
Morgan slowly slid a business card from the side pocket of her tote bag and introduced them. Mr. Jackson said you could tell us more about Crystal Fox. The muzzle of the shotgun tipped to the ground as Abigail reached for the card and inspected it.
I heard Crystal hanged herself.
In rural areas, gossip spread like fire through straw. We're not sure what happened, Morgan said. Did you know her well? Abigail turned and headed for the rear porch of the house.
Let's go inside.
They followed her into the cottage. The back door opened into a mudroom. She stood her shotgun in the corner and hung her jacket on a hook by the door, then removed her gloves. Abigail led them into what Lance was sure she called the parlor. Flowers covered every surface. They filled vases, dotted the wallpaper, patterned the throw rugs. Flowers were even carved into the wood of the ornate furniture. The room was crowded with knick-knacks and fancy, uncomfortable-looking furniture. Lance leaned on the wall, eyeing the fussy camelback sofa as if it would attack. The cluttered decor was claustrophobic.
Your home is lovely.
Morgan perched on the edge of a blue velvet chair.
I love flowers.
Abigail sat on the sofa. Her body was nearly hidden by an enormous orange arrangement on the coffee table.
Sorry about the shotgun. I'm a little paranoid since that good-for-nothing grandson of Elijah's broke in here last month. Caught him halfway out the window with my silver candlesticks in his hand. I sent that little creep running. He was a dozen feet away from a load of birdshot in his butt.
That's awful.
Morgan unbuttoned her coat, set her bag at her feet, and took out her notebook.
It's a damn shame. He used to be a cute little kid. You can't trust anybody once Heron gets its claws into them.
Abigail shook her head and clucked in disgust.
Now, what do you want to know about Crystal?
How long did she work for you?
Lance stifled a sneeze. The clashing scents of different flowers clogged his throat.
She cleaned motel rooms for me on and off for more than 20 years.
Abigail folded her hands in her lap.
She'd get better jobs, but she couldn't hold on to them. She always came back. It's a dirty job, I have no illusions about my business or my clients.
What kind of motel does Abigail own? Was Crystal a good worker?
Morgan plucked a leaf from her hair and discreetly tucked it into the side pocket of her bag. Abigail laughed.
Not in the least. But she showed up, more often than not. I used to pay her at the end of every day. If I gave her a full week's pay, she'd spend the next 3 days in a bar.
Warm, Lance opened his jacket.
Do you remember her daughter, Mary?
I do.
Abigail nodded. Crystal tried to get her to work at the motel, but Mary wanted no part of it. She was a lazy girl, and she turned up her nose at the idea of cleaning up after other people. She preferred to work on her back.
I thought she was a waitress.
Morgan crossed her ankles. She worked part-time at PJ's, Abigail said. But she used the waitressing job to troll for clients in her more lucrative enterprise.
How do you know she was a prostitute?
Lance pulled at the neck of his shirt. With adrenaline still sliding through his veins, the heat of the cottage was suffocating him. She brought clients to my motel on a regular basis. I was never sure if she did it because I had the cheapest rooms in the area or to spite her mother.
Abigail pointed a slim, dainty finger at him.
Mary was a nasty girl.
Would you recognize one of these clients after all these years?
Lance's chest went tight.
Will Abigail verify that my father was sleeping with Mary?
Maybe.
She narrowed her eyes.
Could we come back with some pictures?
Lance asked.
Why didn't I think to bring a photo of my dad?
Deep down, he didn't want to own the possibility that the sheriff was right. Abigail thought about his question for a few seconds.
Did Crystal really kill herself?
That'll be for the medical examiner to determine,
Lance said.
I heard her daughter's body was found.
Abigail picked up a small pair of shears from the coffee table. She clipped the dead head of a flower from the arrangement in front of her.
A reporter on the news speculated that's why she did it.
You sound like you don't believe it, Morgan said.
Crystal wasn't a very good mother, Abigail said. She never put Mary's needs before hers. Most of the time, her child seemed like an afterthought. Mary'd been gone for weeks before Crystal reported her missing. It's not like she's been pining away for a lost child for the last 2 decades.
Mary was murdered,
Lance said.
It's her death we're investigating.
Abigail paused, pruners hovering in midair.
We all thought Mary left for greener pastures. She hated it here. All she ever talked about was getting out of town.
Do you know of anyone in Mary's or Crystal's lives back then who could have been a threat?
Lance asked.
Crystal's husband, Warren, comes to mind.
Abigail ferreted out another limp bloom and cut it off.
Crystal married him when Mary was about 10. I always thought he had the wrong sort of interest in that little girl, if you know what I mean.
Lance's gut twisted.
You think Warren Fox abused Mary?
Warren Fox shot to the top of Lance's mental list.
Yes, and that's what I told Crystal.
Abigail shook her shears at Morgan.
But that woman was too wrapped up in herself. I don't know whether she didn't want to believe it, or if she just didn't care all that much.
Back then, Warren was a truck driver. He brought home cash, and cash made Crystal happy.
Morgan looked up from her notes. What makes you think Warren molested Mary?
The way he looked at that child made my skin crawl.
Frowning, Abigail shifted some greenery.
Mary would do anything to stay out of his reach. She started acting out shortly after the marriage, and she made sexual jokes she was entirely too young to understand. I put two and two together. It wasn't rocket science. Besides, owning and operating a low-end motel has given me a fairly good creep detector.
I'll bet. The idea turned Lance's stomach. If it were true, maybe Mary had threatened to rat out Warren.
What happened to Warren?
He didn't remember seeing the man's clothes or other personal belongings in Crystal's house.
A few years ago, he got fired for drinking on the job, so naturally he started drinking more.
which led him to beating Crystal. She kicked him out. At one point, she had a restraining order against him, but it expired. He works at the county recycling center now. Abigail deadheaded another flower stalk. The wilted head fell to the table.
Did Mary ever say anything to you to confirm Warren was molesting her?
Morgan's pen waited poised over her notebook. No. Abigail shook her head. But it wouldn't surprise me if Mary had tried to blackmail him. She was the scheming sort.
Morgan made more notes. In the weeks before she died, did Mary bring anyone in particular to the motel?
She had regulars. Abigail nodded. I worked the registration desk back then, too. I might be old, but my memory is still intact.
Lance wondered if scheming Mary could have blackmailed any other clients.
Did any of Mary's clients seem violent? Did you ever see her with bruises afterward?
There was this one man. Mary said he liked it rough, and she always looked shaken when he was through with her. What was his name?
Abigail tapped her shears in her palm.
Most of Mary's clients would use fake names. You have no idea how many men register in my hotel as Mr. Smith.
You don't check driver's licenses? Morgan asked.
Honey. Abigail's tone shifted to aren't you sweet. Most people who rent rooms by the hour generally prefer anonymous cash transactions.
What do you remember about this man?
Lance asked.
He used a ridiculous fake name. It stood out.
She pressed her forefinger to her pursed lips, then her face brightened.
Mr. Joshua.
Her eyes rolled in a what an idiot expression.
Those Lethal Weapon movies were really big back then, with all their martial arts fighting. But this guy didn't look like he could fight traffic. He was too clean-cut.
Morgan leaned forward. Would you recognize a picture of him?
I might, Abigail said.
Mary was reported missing in August 1994. We'd like to know about the clients she entertained that month. Do you keep old registration information?
Lance asked.
Yes. Abigail nodded. Back then, I still used a paper system, but I kept everything in the storage room. I keep meaning to clean it out. There's no reason to keep records that old, but I never seem to get around to it, even though I'm there most evenings.
Lance's surprise must have shown on his face.
Yes, I am too old to put in that many hours, but like I said, you can't trust anybody anymore.
Abigail let a deep breath out through her nose.
I've been thinking about selling the place. The world is going to hell in a handbasket. Even the quality of my low-life clients has deteriorated. Used to be I only had to worry about vomiting drunks and married cheaters. Last year I had two people overdose in my rooms. I don't need that kind of stress in my life.
Could we stop by the motel and look at the old registries?
Lance asked.
I'm usually there between 6 p.m. and midnight.
Abigail said,
that's our busiest time of the day.
Thank you, Morgan said.
You're welcome. Mary didn't have much of a chance with Crystal for mother, and she certainly didn't deserve to be murdered.
Abigail showed them out. Back in the Jeep, Lance started the engine and stared through the windshield.
The sheriff thinks my dad was one of Mary's clients. He was right about Mary not being a nice person. Maybe he's right about my father, too. I don't know how I would ever tell my mother that.
Had Lance been that wrong about his father? His phone buzzed and Mom displayed on the screen.
Mom?
He answered, but her words were too fast and jumbled to understand.
Hold on. Calm down. What's wrong?
His mother took a huge, audible gulp of air.
The sheriff is on TV. He says Vic is a person of interest in Mary Fox's death.
I'll be right there.
Lance lowered the phone, put the Jeep into gear, and relayed the call to Morgan. Oh, no. Morgan fastened her seatbelt. Let's go.
Don't you have to pick up Sophie and Gianna?
Lance backed out of the driveway. Morgan shook her head. It's okay. I'll call Mac. He'll get them. Lance pulled onto the road and stepped on the gas.
But then he'll have to leave your grandfather alone.
Morgan turned and took his hand. It's all right. Grandpa can behave himself for 30 minutes. My family will always pitch in, that's what we do. We help each other even if our responsibilities sometimes seem like the same deck of cards that gets shuffled and dealt out to new people each morning.
But I want to be there, for you and your girls.
Frustration filled Lance. Not take you away from your family. Life isn't neat and clean. Family responsibilities aren't divvied up in perfectly equal slices all the time. Look at my family. I live with Grandpa and Stella's nearby, so we handle his needs. Mac isn't family at all, but he does more for Grandpa than my brother Ian or my sister Peyton because Mac is local. Lance couldn't articulate his feelings. How much he wanted to be a part of her family. Because in the end, it just might not be possible. Chapter 21. 30 minutes later, Lance stood in his mother's office, watching the computer monitor over her shoulder. On the screen, the sheriff stood behind a podium. The image changed to a mocked-up picture of what Vic Krueger might have looked like if he had aged to the present day.
Mr. Krueger has been missing since August 10, 1994. He is now a person of interest in the murder of Mary Fox.
The sheriff leaned closer to the microphone.
If anyone has information as to his whereabouts, please call the sheriff's department.
A phone number scrolled across the bottom of the screen. The sheriff ended the press conference and stepped away from the podium. The video froze.
I'm sorry, Mom. I can't believe he made that announcement without warning us.
But he could. Lance had let a few instances of decent manners soften his opinion of the sheriff. King did what suited King. You have nothing to apologize for. She patted his hand. Her nails were bitten below the quick, so far down that several of them had scabs. The sheriff is just doing his job, though he's headed down the wrong path. Your father would never have hurt that girl. But Lance couldn't be so sure. He'd already learned that many of his childhood perceptions had been dead wrong.
I mean it, Lance. Your father was a good man.
His mother's body stiffened. She looked more angry than upset.
The sheriff is way off base. He's wasting all of our time.
Morgan leaned in the doorway. Lunch is ready?
You're a dear.
His mom got up from her chair and followed Morgan into the kitchen.
I don't know that I can eat.
You should try. Morgan wrapped an arm around his mom's shoulders. She heated tomato soup and made grilled cheese sandwiches for three, one of his mother's favorite wintertime meals. Morgan always paid attention to the little things. His mother sighed and sat at the table.
All right.
Did I tell you what Sophie did this morning? Morgan launched into a story of Ava tattling on Sophie for coloring on the wall, and Sophie cutting all the hair off Ava's dolls in retribution. Distracted, his mom ate half her sandwich.
I'm almost surprised she didn't slide a toy horse head into Ava's bed.
Morgan chuckled.
That Sophie must be a handful.
His mom dipped her spoon into her soup.
She is.
Lance finished his grilled cheese without tasting it.
I'd love to meet your children,
Jenny said to Morgan. Lance tossed his napkin onto his empty plate. His mother depended on routine. Morgan's oldest two girls were predictable, but Sophie was a freight train full of chaos. Could his mother handle it? He studied the lift of her chin and stubborn set to her jaw. Maybe. Just maybe she could. She seemed determined to improve her life. But it was too soon to speculate about the future. First, they had to get through the current crisis.
About those email and phone records the sheriff wanted.
His mom got up and fetched a slip of paper and a pen from a kitchen drawer.
As you know, my phone and email are both with my internet provider. Here's the login and password to my account.
She handed him the paper.
The sheriff can sift through my personal emails until his eyeballs cross from boredom. I did not give him access to my professional accounts.
He'll have to get a subpoena for those. I will not compromise my client's privacy. Sometimes his mom's intelligence got lost in all the craziness of her life. A trip to the grocery store was beyond her capabilities, but she could design and maintain websites, detect cybersecurity issues, and teach computer science. Lance took the paper, hoping the information satisfied the sheriff. "Don't worry. He won't find anything in my emails," his mother said. Lance hoped she was right. He turned to Morgan.
"Let's take this information to the sheriff and get back to work."
They'd uncovered their first big break in the case. It was time to find Warren Fox. Chapter 22. Morgan sat in the passenger seat of the Jeep, talking to Sharp on the speakerphone. She kept one eye on Lance in the driver's seat. He gripped the steering wheel like he was going to rip it out of the dashboard. Morgan leaned closer to the speaker. "We dropped Jenny's email and phone account information with the sheriff," which was one of the reasons Lance looked ready to snap off a head. "We have two possible suspects." Morgan summed up the information Abigail Wright had given them on Crystal's husband, Warren Fox, and Mary's mysterious client, Mr. Joshua. "We plan on visiting Abigail at the roadside motel at 7. Until then, there's Warren Fox to check out."
"You two go talk to Warren," Sharp said. "I'm on my way to PJ's now. Come to the office when you're done with Warren and we'll compare notes."
Morgan ended the call and Lance drove to the Randolph County Recycling Center. An 8-foot-tall chain-link fence surrounded the property. Lance turned in at the gate. A sign posted the hours as Monday through Friday, 7 a.m. to 3 p.m. Lance pulled up in front of a small building labeled office. Behind it was a row of dumpsters. Several other outbuildings were scattered around the property. The only vehicle in sight, a black Chevy pickup truck, sat alongside the office. Morgan made a note of the license plate. They got out of the car. Morgan's heel sank into the rutted gravel and she instantly regretted not taking the time to change from her suit to more durable clothing. Lance peered in the shed.
"He's not in there. I'm gonna look around."
He turned and walked around the building. "I'll be right there. I need to change my shoes before I break an ankle." She leaned into the vehicle and brought out a pair of black flats she always carried in her tote. With one hand on the open vehicle door, she changed her shoes. Straightening, she was struck with a sense of being watched. Unease spread through her as she slowly turned in a circle. A man stood in the doorway to one of the nearby buildings. He wore olive-green coveralls and a leer that disgusted Morgan from 10 feet away. She closed the Jeep door and faced him. "I'm looking for Warren Fox." He stepped into the sunlight and crossed the gravel to stand in front of her.
"I'm Warren."
The sour smell of alcohol emanated from his every pore, as if he'd been pickling in gin for weeks. "Morgan Dane." She offered him her card. He inspected it, his face transforming from leer to rage.
"Another fucking lawyer."
With one motion, he grabbed her by the bicep and dragged her closer.
"You can tell my fucking bitch of a wife that she ain't getting anything from me."
His finger dug into her arm. Nerves and anger surged through Morgan's veins. "That answers my question about whether Warren would hurt a woman. Take your hand off me, now." Morgan slid her hand inside her coat to find the handgun just behind her right hip. She'd had enough of being threatened this week. Warren would never try to manhandle Lance. But because Morgan was a woman, he assumed he could intimidate her the same way Esposito had. Warren's eyes narrowed.
"I ain't paying that bitch a cent."
Either Warren didn't know Crystal was dead, or he was one hell of an actor. "So you said, but I'm not here about money. Let go of me before you are very sorry." She slid the Glock from its holster.
"Why? You gonna sue me? I ain't got squat. Fucking Crystal kicked me out of my own fucking house. Then she has the nerve to ask for fucking money."
His grip on her arm tightened, his finger digging into her flesh.
"I'm not signing any fucking divorce papers, and I'm not giving her a fucking nickel."
He leaned closer, getting right into her face, his breath smelling flammable. A lit match would send him up in flames like too much lighter fluid on a charcoal grill.
"You bitches all stick together."
Morgan turned her face away.
"I'll wring your pretty neck."
He released her arm and wrapped his hands around her throat. He didn't squeeze hard enough to choke her, but the pressure of his thumbs on her windpipe made her gag. Fear leaped in her chest and her heart jumped. Enough. Morgan drew her handgun and pressed the muzzle into the soft flesh of his groin. He froze. His grip loosened and Morgan swallowed. I said, let me go. And now she needed to wash her neck with bleach. The idiot appeared to consider trying to take the gun. Don't do it. My father was a cop, my grandfather was a cop, my sister is a cop. My brother is NYPD SWAT. If you move 1 millimeter toward my weapon, I will shoot your man bits off. His fingers opened and he raised his hands. Before he could step backward, his body went airborne. In one swift movement, Lance spun Warren away from Morgan, kicked Warren's feet out from under him, and introduced his face to the gravel.
Didn't anyone ever tell you to ask permission before you touch a lady?
Lance twisted both of Warren's hands behind his back. He glanced up at Morgan.
Are you all right?
I'm fine. She returned her weapon to its holster and rubbed her neck. Other than I feel like I need to shower. Nerves and adrenaline tumbled through her belly, the combination making her queasy, as usual.
Get off me!
Warren twisted his face around, his eyes snapping and the muscles in his jaw twitching.
Shut up!
Lance put a knee into Warren's lower back. Crystal is dead, Morgan said.
What?
Warren wheezed. Lance eased his weight off his back. Didn't the police notify you? She asked. You're still her husband.
Yes.
A flicker of something crossed Warren's face.
There was a cop on my doorstep last night, but I don't answer my door to cops.
Can't imagine why. I'm sorry for your loss, Morgan said out of habit. I thought you knew.
You're serious.
Surprise finally dawned on Warren's face.
She's dead?
Yes. Morgan nodded.
Holy shit.
He squirmed.
Am I under arrest?
No.
Regret filled Lance's answer.
Then let me up.
Warren whined.
You're hurting my back.
Morgan rubbed her bicep.
Can you behave?
Lance asked. Warren nodded and Lance hauled him to his feet. Lance jabbed a finger in his face.
If you so much as look at her with anything short of respect, I am putting you right back down.
Fucking police brutality,
Warren complained.
I should sue.
Guess what, Warren?
Lance's lip curled in a snarl.
I'm not a cop.
Warren swallowed.
Who are you?
I work for her,
Lance said.
She's a lawyer.
Confusion wrinkled Warren's thick Neanderthal forehead.
How did Crystal die?
Morgan clicked her pen. She was found hanging in her home. Warren's face went slack.
She killed herself?
Morgan didn't answer. Does that surprise you? Warren snorted.
Crystal was way too selfish to kill herself.
Is there anyone who might want to murder her besides you? Warren's face paled and he took 2 steps backward.
I didn't touch her. I haven't even seen Crystal in months.
Since Warren was already off balance, Morgan tossed him a curveball. When was the last time you saw Mary?
Mary?
Confusion puckered Warren's face.
She left town more than 20 years ago.
Tell us about your relationship with Mary, Morgan said. Warren's gaze flickered to the ground.
Not much to tell, she never liked me.
How old was Mary when you married Crystal? Morgan asked.
10.
Warren's tone shifted to wary. Morgan made a note. When was the last time you saw her?
I don't know.
Warren avoided eye contact. Liar. Mary is dead too. Morgan watched his eyes. Did you know that?
No.
Warren's gaze snapped back to hers.
I thought she'd left town.
Maybe the truth. Some people lied so often they had trouble keeping their facts straight. Warren struck Morgan as one of those people. Accomplished liars knew to keep their answers short, and not to embellish. Mary was murdered, Morgan said. Warren backed up another step.
Well, I didn't do it.
But the news that his stepdaughter was dead didn't bother him. Lance stepped sideways behind Warren as if he were afraid Warren would run.
Why would we think you killed your stepdaughter?
Because you're here.
Warren's lips mashed flat, his arms folded over his chest in stubborn defiance.
I'm not answering any more questions.
Morgan and Lance couldn't make him, but they could tell the sheriff what they knew about Warren. Warren walked away. Back in the car, Morgan watched him disappear into the shed.
To quote Sheriff King.
Lance dropped his voice 2 octaves and drawled a decent impersonation of the sheriff's voice.
He's guilty of something.
Chapter 23. As they drove back to the office, Morgan added to her notes on the interview. She liked to get the details down while they were fresh in her mind. Sharp was in the building when they arrived. Before Morgan could get to her coffee maker, he handed her a cup of green tea.
This won't give you a headache.
She sipped it on her way into the office. All right, but no complaining if I'm slower than usual. He followed her in, chuckling.
There is nothing slow about you.
Morgan hung up her coat and set her tote on her desk. Lance came in, a mug in his hand, and stared at the whiteboard.
So, where are we?
We have suspects.
Sharp rubbed his hands together.
Finally. Beats the hell out of not having any.
Lance agreed.
Let's have it.
Sharp curled his fingers in a bring-it-on gesture. Morgan consulted her notes. Number 1, Warren Fox.
Who is he? And why do we think he might have killed Mary?
Sharp reached for a marker. Mary is Warren's stepfather. Abigail Wright, who owns the roadside motel where Crystal sometimes worked, suspected he molested Mary. Morgan's tone turned to disgust. She was 10 when Warren married her mother. Sharp wrote child molester with a question mark under Warren's name.
When we told him she was dead, he didn't ask a single question.
Lance leaned against the wall, folded his arms across his chest, and studied the board. He didn't ask how Mary died or if her body had been found. Morgan flipped the page in her notebook. He wasn't at all curious about his stepdaughter's murder.
Either he doesn't care, or he already knows.
Sharp said.
Possible motive?
Lance sighed.
Maybe Mary tried to blackmail him, and he killed her to keep her quiet. How did your father get involved?
Sharp asked.
PJ's is the common link between my father and Mary. Maybe he saw Mary and Warren argue there.
Lance frowned.
That seems weak. Could there be some way my father saw Warren kill her or force her into his car?
Sharp wrote the question on the board, then turned to face him again.
Suspect 2.
Morgan read from her notes. One of Mary's customers, the mysterious Mr. Joshua.
Reason?
Sharp's marker hovered in front of the board.
He liked it rough,
Lance said.
Possibly too rough. Mary was strangled, that's an intimate death.
Could he have gotten carried away, or perhaps Mary made him angry and he choked her?
Sharp nodded.
She wouldn't be the first prostitute strangled by a client.
Blackmail could work here as motivation as well, Morgan added. We don't know Mr. Joshua's real identity. He could have been married, or there was some other reason that consorting with a prostitute would be devastating to his life or livelihood. Sharp capped his marker.
I went to PJ's this afternoon. E.J. Houlihan still owns the place. His son tends the bar now. PJ had a stroke and retired a couple of years ago. He bought a house and a chunk of land in Gray's Hollow. I'm driving out to talk to him tonight.
Later tonight, Morgan and I are headed to the roadside motel to look at Abigail's old hotel records.
Sharp glanced at his cell phone.
Since we have an hour or two of downtime, we should break for dinner. We can't go full tilt 24/7, it isn't healthy. And we have no idea how long this case will drag on.
You're right, Morgan said. I'm gonna run home for dinner and see my girls. Lance nodded.
I should stop at the ice rink and give Coach Zack a hand with the team. I've been neglecting the kids lately.
Morgan's phone vibrated. She checked the screen. It's Mac. Excuse me, I have to take this. She went into the hallway and accepted the call. Mac, is everything all right?
It's nothing major, Mac said. Ava stayed after school to try out for the school play.
He cleared his throat.
She got into a fight. She's in the principal's office.
Shock paralyzed Morgan for a heartbeat. Ava got into a fight?
That's what the principal said.
Mac sighed.
Do you want me to go get her, or do you want to handle it?
I'll get her. Thanks, Mac. Worried, Morgan ended the call, returned to her office, and explained the situation to Lance and Sharp. I'm sorry. I have to pick her up. I don't even have my car here.
I'll take you, but this makes no sense.
Lance frowned.
Ava is the biggest goody two-shoes around.
I know. She's the queen of rules. Morgan tossed some paperwork into her tote and followed Lance out to his Jeep. He drove to the school. By the time he parked in a lot, Morgan's stomach was tied in guilty knots. She'd been working long hours. Was Ava feeling neglected? They crossed the pavement and Lance opened the entry door for her. In the waiting area of the main office, a secretary faced a few plastic chairs. Ava sat in the corner. Her eyes were red-rimmed and tears streaked her face. One empty chair separated her from a boy who looked to be at least 8, and a woman Morgan assumed to be his mother. Mother and son had the same red hair, and there was a clear family resemblance. Ava's knees were drawn up to her chest, and she cringed in the corner, as if she couldn't get far enough away from the boy and his mother. No wonder. The mother was glaring at her while the boy eyed Ava with a small, smug smile. As soon as she spotted Morgan, Ava launched herself across the room. Morgan stooped and caught her, wrapping her arms around her daughter's shaking body. Shh, it's okay.
It most certainly is not okay.
The red-headed woman stood and scowled at them. Her forehead wrinkled as she scanned Lance from head to boots. She turned back to Morgan with a frown.
Your daughter kicked my son in his, private parts?
The principal walked out of her office. Miss Jane, you're finally here. Now we can discuss the incident. One eyebrow lifted over her stern dark eyes as she glanced at Lance. Morgan introduced him. Principal Small, this is Lance Kruger. She gestured toward a small conference room next to her office. Mrs. Sloan is waiting. Mrs. Sloan was the music teacher.
Wait here,
the mother said to her son as she walked toward the open door. I'll be in after I've spoken with my daughter. Morgan straightened, keeping one hand on Ava's shoulder.
We've already been waiting.
The principal crossed her arms over her chest. I appreciate that. I'll be right in. Morgan steered Ava out the door and into the hallway and squatted to her level. Lance leaned on the wall. She brushed Ava's hair off her face. Her skin was hot and sweaty. Take a deep breath and tell me what happened. Ava's breath hitched.
Brett kept pulling my hair.
She sniffed and dragged her hand under her nose.
I kept asking him to stop, but he kept doing it. It hurt.
Did you tell the teacher? Morgan asked. Ava nodded.
Mrs. Sloan said he probably likes me. If he likes me, why did he keep hurting me?
Your teacher is wrong. Morgan bit back her irritation. Boys don't hurt girls they like. They do it because they enjoy it. And if no one teaches them manners, they grow up to be men with no respect for others, like Warren Fox or Ada Esposito. So, the teacher didn't make him stop? Morgan asked. Ava shook her head.
He did it harder after I told.
She rubbed a spot behind her ear. Fresh tears welled in her eyes.
He said I'd be sorry if I told on him again.
Morgan fished a tissue from her tote and gave it to Ava. Then she gently turned her around and checked the spot she was rubbing on her scalp. Anger did a slow burn up her windpipe. Ava had a swollen, scabbed, bald spot the size of a dime. That bully had ripped out a chunk of Ava's hair. Lance leaned over her. His face went taut. Morgan breathed through a spike of rage. So you kicked Brett? Ava's head did a slow, exaggerated bob.
Grandpa showed me how to make a boy stop touching me.
Grandpa. A smile tugged at Morgan's mouth. She and her sisters had received the same lesson from Grandpa, and it had served them just as well.
Mrs. Sloan said I was in big trouble.
Ava wiped her nose with a tissue.
Am I?
No. Morgan hugged her. You did the right thing. You asked for help first and defended yourself as a last resort. I will handle Mrs. Sloan. She stood, took her daughter's hand, and the three of them went back into the principal's office. Would you mind staying out here with Ava? She asked Lance.
I'd be happy to.
Lance held out his hand and Ava took it. She moved closer to him, plastering her little body to his leg. When he sat in one of the plastic chairs, she crawled onto his lap. He wrapped his thick arms around the little girl. She leaned against his chest and finally relaxed, no doubt feeling safe for the first time all afternoon. Morgan was almost ashamed at the small surge of pleasure she felt when the bully shifted to the last seat in the row to put one more chair between him and Lance. Almost. The teacher, the principal, and the boy's mother were all sitting at a round table in a small conference room. The principal gestured toward the teacher. Mrs. Sloan is in charge of the school play tryouts. Mrs. Sloan narrowed her eyes. During today's session, your daughter kicked Brett. She could have seriously injured him. Morgan sat. Did my daughter come to you for help?
Well, yes.
Mrs. Sloan pursed her lips. But it was such a trivial thing. Children are so touchy these days. They really need to toughen up. Exactly what did Ava ask you to do? Morgan asked. Mrs. Sloan lifted her chin. She wanted me to make Brett stop tugging her hair. Did she use the word tug? Morgan settled into cross-examination mode. I don't recall her exact words. Mrs. Sloan sniffed. How did you address the issue? Morgan leveled her with a steady gaze. Mrs. Sloan shifted in her chair. I told him to stop. Kids will be kids. Your daughter needs to develop a thicker skin. Keeping one's hands to oneself is a simple concept all children can master. Morgan clarified. She was having none of those boys will be boys excuses. Brett's mother humped. I'm sure Brett was just being friendly. Morgan ignored her. The woman obviously had no clue what her son was up to. Did you follow through? Morgan asked Mrs. Sloan. She pictured a distracted teacher, irritated by what she considered to be a trivial interruption. I don't know what you're getting at, Miss Dane. The principal chimed in. Your daughter admitted to kicking Brett. End of story. Oh, no, it isn't. That isn't even close to the end, Morgan said. You have a responsibility to protect my daughter while she is in your care. You didn't do that. You forced a 6-year-old to defend herself against a much larger child. Brett ripped out a chunk of Ava's hair, violently enough that her scalp bled. Mrs. Sloan leaned back from the table. When the woman appeared to be at a loss for words, Morgan continued. This boy is older than Ava. He's twice her size and he was clearly bullying my daughter. You didn't make him stop. He should be in trouble, not my daughter. The self-satisfied smile fell away from the mother's face. Were some kids born mean, or did they learn it from their parents? It didn't matter. Not all children were nice, not all people were nice. It was a fact of life, which was the reason Grandpa had made sure all the children in his family could look out for themselves. We always punish all participants in a physical fight, the principal said in an end-of-discussion tone. Our school has a zero-tolerance policy. I have no discretion. Both children will receive a 2-day suspension. Today is Wednesday. Ava can return to school on Monday. You're suspending my daughter from school? She's 6. Disbelief flooded Morgan. Bullying is a permissible activity? I have no choice, the principal said. Brett will be punished as well. Those are the rules. Brett threatened and physically attacked Ava, Morgan said. If an adult committed these acts against another adult, they could be charged with assault and battery. The color drained from the principal's face. They're just children. Morgan leaned forward a few inches, her gaze locking on the principal's. If I reached over and yanked out a handful of your hair, what would you do? Would you consider that trivial? Would you brush it off? I'm taller and stronger than you. I could do it easily. Morgan let three heartbeats of silence pass. So, you wouldn't tolerate that behavior for yourself, but you expect my daughter to toughen up. Seems to me she's plenty tough. I didn't know he had actually hurt her. Mrs. Sloane's voice weakened. You didn't bother to find out. If children are afraid to stand up for themselves, then your policy protects and enables bullies. Morgan turned to the principal. Did you know I used to be an assistant district attorney, and now I'm a criminal defense lawyer? No. The principal looked as if that information made her physically ill. Morgan addressed the boy's mother. Did you know that parents of bullies can be sued? Brett's mother's mouth hung open a full inch. Sadly, the only thing that appeared to get the woman's attention was the thought of the incident costing her money, not the fact that her son had hurt another child. Now you do. Morgan stood. You can all expect an email summing up today's discussion. Since this is a district policy issue, I'll copy the school board and superintendent. But as far as I'm concerned, my daughter handled the situation admirably. No one responded, but then Morgan hadn't really expected them to. She also didn't expect that Brett would bother Ava again. Not that she had any faith in his mother's ability to discipline her son. It was Ava's well-placed kick that had earned Brett's attention. Most bullies didn't pick on kids who fought back. Goodbye. Frustrated, Morgan left the room. Ava sat up. Am I in trouble? No, honey. But you're going to have a couple of days off from school. Maybe you and Gianna could do something fun.
But I want to go to school.
Ava's eyes filled with tears and she sagged back against Lance. I know, honey. I'm sorry. Morgan touched her daughter's head. But you did the right thing. You can always defend yourself. Lance shot Morgan a tight-lipped look. He stood with Ava still wrapped in his arms. Let's get you home. He set her down and she slid her tiny hand into his giant one, as if it was the most natural thing in the world.
Can we get some ice cream?
Ava asked with a thin smile. Morgan looked at her daughter's teary, swollen face. Absolutely. Let's get some for everyone.
Especially Grandpa.
Ava's step lightened as soon as they left the building. Yes, especially Grandpa. Morgan agreed. They climbed into the vehicle.
Why don't you stay with your kids tonight?
Lance said as he started the engine.
I'll take Sharp with me.
Are you sure? Morgan glanced in the back seat. The sight of a sad-faced Ava resting her head on the side of her booster seat tugged at Morgan's heart. Balancing her career and motherhood felt like she was juggling a raw egg, a live grenade, and a chainsaw. At any moment, something could break, blow up, or slice her to pieces.
Sharp and I can handle one interview. Ava needs you tonight.
You're right, and thank you. Lance inclined his head toward the rear seat.
She is the most important thing today.
They bought several containers of ice cream, and Lance dropped Morgan and Ava at home. Morgan was greeted with the usual chaos of kids and dogs. Mac was standing behind the crew.
If you don't need anything else tonight, I'm gonna head home and see Stella before she goes back to work. She has some kind of meeting tonight.
We're fine. She gave Mac a hug. Thank you for everything. He left. Morgan locked the front door and tossed her coat and bag over a chair. She took the ice cream into the kitchen and put the containers into the freezer. Gianna peeked in the oven.
Mac and cheese is almost ready. Girls, let's go wash up.
Gianna made garlic bread!
Mia yelled as the girls followed Gianna from the room.
What happened at school?
Grandpa asked. Morgan filled him in. I'm not exactly making friends at the school. Morgan couldn't shut off the instant replay of the scene in the principal's office. How many times could she second-guess herself? Do you think I overreacted? She thought of Warren Fox grabbing her, the stench of him, the bruises he'd left on her arm. The incident with Esposito hadn't been violent, but he'd also tried to intimidate her. She touched her throat, where Tyler Green's hands had left a ring of bruises 2 months ago. And now she had to consider the possibility that Tyler was stalking her. Had today's incident with Ava hit a personal chord, and had she let her emotions get the best of her? Grandpa snorted.
Should you have let it go to make nice with the teacher and principal?
No. Morgan reached for a pile of mail on the counter. I won't kowtow to school administrators who would rather look the other way than address a difficult issue. I guarantee Brett's days as a bully aren't over.
But he probably won't target Ava again.
Grandpa sounded pleased.
At least, not unless he's wearing a cup.
I'm gonna have kids at that school for the next 9 years, Morgan said. They'd probably have me marked as a troublemaker.
Or maybe your response will change the way the school handles this kind of behavior.
Maybe. Morgan hadn't thought of it that way. But I was angry. Really angry, and I don't lose my temper often. I'm an adult, but this really threw me.
Someone hurt your baby, and you went Mama Bear on their asses.
Grandpa crossed his arms.
Now they know not to mess with you or Ava. Nothing wrong with that.
Morgan flipped through the mail. Mostly junk, she set it down. On the counter next to the envelopes was a squat brown box. Morgan's name and address was printed on the top, but there was no return address. What's this? Grandpa craned his neck to look at the package.
Deanna said the neighbor from two doors down dropped it off. Said someone left it on her porch this afternoon. The delivery service must have gotten the houses mixed up.
There's no postmark or barcode. Morgan's instincts went on alert. Obviously, so had Grandpa's.
I should have noticed. Don't touch it. We should call Stella.
Let's not get ahead of ourselves. This could be anything. Morgan went to the chair at the front door and took a pair of vinyl gloves from her tote. Back in the kitchen, she used a pair of scissors to slit the tape at the end of the box. When she opened it, she found photographs nestled in crumpled brown packing paper. Morgan lifted the stack. The first picture was of her leaving the courthouse. The photographer had clearly followed her. The stack of images followed her from the courthouse across the parking lot to her minivan. There were photos of her arriving home as well, getting out of her minivan, walking into the front door and greeting her kids. My kids. A chill swept through her, settling in her chest. Her hands trembled. Seeing her little girls in the sights of a stalker made Morgan ill with terror. But the children clearly weren't the focus of the sender's rage. Each picture had a blood-red X drawn across Morgan's face. Some of the lines were scratched into the photographs, as if the hand that held the marker had pressed hard enough to break the felt tip. The last photograph was an 8x10 shot of Morgan's face. Instead of red X's, bullet holes riddled the picture, as if it had been used for target practice. On the bottom of the page was a message written in blocky print. Payback is a bitch. Chapter 24. The little house stood alone on a quiet section of country road. There were no other houses, no other vehicles in sight. No one close enough to hear a scream. He double-checked the address. 212 Country Line Road. Residence of the next person on his list. He parked his car down the street and watched the house. Except for one room at the front of the house, the rest of the windows were dark. What would two old people do on a weekday evening? They'd sit in the living room and watch TV. When nothing moved for 10 minutes, he moved his car farther away and parked it behind a stand of trees. Then he stepped out of the vehicle and tugged on a ski mask and a pair of gloves. His black sweatpants and hoodie would blend into the dark. Slinging a black pillowcase over one shoulder, he walked through the side yard, past a vegetable garden tilled for the winter. Cloud cover kept the yard dark. He couldn't risk being seen until the last moment. With two of them inside, this needed to be a surprise. A light shone in the first window. He ducked under it and moved to the next. Rising onto his toes, he cupped his hands over his eyes.